Blog Talk Radio.
This is a warning. You're about to embark on a journey to the sensible world of wisdom, the world of where one inspirational word is able to take a stand from bigotry, nonsense, lies, and deceit. You're about to enter the world of Fernando Poniente. You have been warned.
I forgot to set it up the time. It was time for 15 minutes on the last segment. But that's the past. Let's move on, shall we? We're in our future, whatever that means. We'll jump in right in there, right on this show right now. We'll talk about the... Read some of that thing. The 5 years after I'm playing just to stand with New Orleans. It's been 5 years since Katrina has been hit with the, not Katrina, but the New Orleans has been hit with the Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
And, yes. And, sorry if I said that. The president applauds New Orleans as a symbol of resilience. I'm sorry. While speaking to the audience at the Xavier University on the 5th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina striking the Gulf Coast, as a few knows more or a lot of people politicize this tragic event, you know, especially Democrats back in the day, blame on Bush. That's what they did. Even Kanye West did that one time when they were actually some of the celebrities reaching out to the people. People in, I think Mike Myers was there with Kanye West, and Kanye West was saying that, you know, help Katrina, and George Bush doesn't care about black people. So, yeah, so that's been 5 years on that. So, we'll move on. I think with God's help, you know, New Orleans will be able to continue on with their, pagan activities. No, I don't think so. You know, the Mardi Gras, you know, all the things going on in the New Orleans and all that. It's, you know, it's against God's will. Anyway, we'll move on. Actually, the speaking of Obama, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, you all probably know who he is. Jeremiah Wright is the one that's saying that, God of America, you know, stuff like that. He was President Obama's pastor, where Obama called. So President Obama called it, used to be his spiritual mentor, where this particular pastor, says the meanings about, you know, the Americans and America and all that. Also, he also believes that AIDS came from or was deliberately sent to Africa to kill black people. So that's what he believes. So anyway, So he does not like this pastor, Jeremiah Wright, does not like people that calling President Obama or people that believe that Obama is a Muslim and call them, psychopath. Let's read it. So he says, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, President Barack Obama's controversial former pastor, accused people who wrongly believe Obama is a Muslim of catering to the political enemies during a fiery speech Sunday in Arkansas. In his sermon at the New Millennium Church in Little Rock, Wright also criticized supporters of the Iraq War and defended former State Court of Appeals Judge Wendell Griffin for speaking out against it. Griffin serves as the church pastor. This guy, Jeremiah Wright, coming out, media's being covering him for this nonsense. He believes that, he's against the Iraq War. I don't know why. I guess it's a... Oh, I know why. He's a socialist, that's why. Wright's only reference to Obama came when he compared Griffin's opponents to those who incorrectly think Obama is Muslim. President, whose full name is actually Barack Hussein Obama, is Christian. Really now? Isn't that what everyone thinks, that he's a Christian? My personal beliefs, my opinions. By the way, given that when he campaigned for presidency back in the day, he did carry the Bible, and he said that made a covenant with or accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, but by his actions, it is a different thing. First of all, President Barack Obama believes that freedom of choice, that abortion can be justified according to the circumstances or the choice of freedom of choice of the women. And he also quoted that he said if his daughters would end up with babies, he would not punish them with babies. Or end up pregnant, he would not punish them with babies. So, he thinks that having a baby or having a baby, out of the wedlock is a punishment or, a tragedy or anything like that. And it has to be eliminated. But, and that's what he said. I'm just quoting that. I'm not making things up. So he said that. So Jeremiah Wright labeling him as a quote unquote Christian is totally out of. Okay, hold on a second here. Someone's calling here. So hold on a second. Let me make my point, and I'll pick you. I'll pick you up in a little bit. Now, Christians. By definition, we all have our own definition when it comes to Christian. A lot of people, the survey says 99% or more. Well, wait, I'll take that back. Not 99%, but a big chunk of Americans actually claim that they are Christians, quote unquote. Christian, call himself Christian. Even Catholics now, they claim, oh, yeah, what religion are you? I'm Christian. Okay. Lutheran, they call themselves Christians. Baptists. Mormonism. The list goes on. So let's take a caller real quick. I think this is my co-host, 312. You go right ahead. Hi. I can't hear you. Hold on a second here. Hold on a second here. Okay, so sorry for the technical difficulties here in a little bit. Co-host, hold on a second here. We'll get you in a little bit.
Alright, can you hear me now?
Okay. There we go. Okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was actually listening to a wise minister, and he was saying how, I know you mentioned Baptist, that, like, you know, if you really, like, you ask them, are you Baptist? And they say, yeah, I'm Baptist. And then he says to them, so you baptize people? They're like, oh, no, I don't baptize people. And then, well, so the only one mentioned in the Bible is John the Baptist, and he baptized people. But you're not baptized. I mean, you're not Baptist because you don't baptize.
Mm-hmm. They claim to be like they're Baptist, but,
yeah.
You know.
So they shouldn't be ashamed to be called Christians because actually, you know, even though the first century church, it was like, it was a shame to be called a Christian. Like, people would call people Christian that follow Christ as if to shame them. But actually, I believe, is it in the New Testament also that says that it's good to be a Christian if you suffer, you are like a Christian, if you suffer for Christ's sake, that we're supposed to be thankful that we're called a Christian, right?
That's right. I think that's what says in there. But anyway, let's go back to this Reverend Jeremiah Wright, you know, kind of labeling President Obama as a Christian. No, I'm not saying that President Obama is a Muslim. There's nothing. That's totally different, you know, subject or anything like that, because that can, it's highly debatable when it comes to things like that. But I'm saying that, you know, that's at the same time, I don't think I can call him what the Bible or God standard is a Christian. You know, first of all, I mean, I've never seen him, like I said, the abortion thing, and I've never seen him, you know, give thanks, you know, give credit to God, or, you know, I mean, he might say, okay, well, he might say, I thank God, or anything like that, but that's just,
I'm
talking about, who's God, and, you know, when you give thanks according to the Bible, you should give thanks with music or
yes.
With loud voice with your song and praise,
yes.
and you know, and all kind of stuff. You know, it's not just once a year or whenever you feel like it or when, you know, when
right.
It's the right time or when it's convenient for you.
Right.
You know, and it has to be, you know, you can do it every day. You know, in our congregation, we do it every week. You know,
yeah,
and we also, and every three months, and we do the, you know, Thanksgiving or giving thanks with a whole brotherhood or brethren, a whole world.
Yep, at the same time.
At the same time. So, you know, if you have any question, anything about like that, are you a Christian? Are you calling yourself a Christian? Are you right? You know, but look up the Bible, you know, go to livestream.com/Ellie Soriano, you know, and ask this wise minister, he will tell you that if you're right or, you know, what the Bible's interpretation is. It's not his interpretation, it's the Bible's interpretations.
That's right.
Of what the Christians, you know, he should be able to tell you that. So enough with this Jeremiah Wright and the other guy.
Barack Obama.
President Barack Obama. See, the things I don't want to disrespect him, because it says in the Bible also respect your
authority.
Those are authority. However,
he's
not persecuting persecuting Christians. Is he persecuting Christians? No, not yet. You know, so there's, you know, I have respect to our president, as well as to the, you know, the last president, also to the future president, and everything like that. So, let's go into the I want to talk about the 10 for 10. I used to do this. I was going to do this for like 10 o'clock, and I'll do the like 10 for 10. I used to do the 10 for 10, which means we'll talk about 10 different, not different things, but countdown of 10. This right now we're going to be talking about 10 places, or worst places to live. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. And also we're going to be talking about the on this day. We're going to squeeze that in. We're also going to be talking about birthday celebrants. Also, we're going to go to the memorable or the celebrity celebrants or birthday celebrants, and also my inner circle and my Facebook friends celebrants. We'll do that. So if you are having a birthday today or this month or next week or anything like that, you know, if you want to call in, here is the number. The number you call my 347-884-8125. You got to make sure you press 1 so I know that you want to participate, because there's, you know, we get calls and, you know, because they just want to listen through the phone and you know, not be rude and pick them up and ask them if they want to participate in a conversation. But anyhow, well, let's move on. Also, going to be talking about some weird news, you know, and I'll give you just a little hint of the weird news. This guy is a 24-year-old guy charged with impersonating his 66-year-old girlfriend. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But now, the 10 worst places to live, you know, I know we all know that times are tough right now when it comes to the housing market. And we see that everywhere, you know, that the housing market is still weak, unemployment remains high, and the stock market is actually basically stuck in neutral. You'll see fluctuations. You'll see that on the news, on the newspapers, like, you know, Dow Jones and S&P 500 goes up a couple thousand and everything like that. But, it's, you know, if you in relatively, like, universally stuck in neutral. So, but things could be worse if you live in one of these 10 cities that I'm going to mention, which face what they call the highest unemployment in the country. This is the corrupt city officials and a sky-high foreclosure rate. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Where's my cue here? Oh, there it is. There we go. All right, 10 worst places to live. I know, maybe, because this, I'm broadcasting, actually, you know, broadcasting worldwide. So if you live like in Timbuktu or somewhere in the poop hole somewhere, you know, and you think that's, you know, a lot of people that compare that thing to, well, I'm not going to hell because I'm already living in hell. You know, that's not hell. You know, if you know what it says in the Bible about hell, that's not hell, okay? It's just worst place to live. But we just narrow that down, and this is going to be like just in the United States or, hold on, let me second here, if I have somewhere. I just want to make sure this is just in United States of America. Yeah, this is just United States of America, you know, not including the outside of the states, okay? Not outside of the United States. So, worst place to live. And again, you don't need the U.S. Misery Index to tell you what things are bad in the U.S. I mean, unemployment's everywhere, and it's just, and it's near or at an all-time high, if that. And that's throughout the country. Foreclosures continue to happen and at unprecedented rates. You know, it's just, it's climbing. I mean, it's going through the roof, you know. So if you want to get out of the country, you can do it, maybe get out now or do it in within 2 years and then come back in about 5 or 10 years. That's what I'm saying. No, what I'm saying is get out now. Yeah, get out of the country for 5 years, 5 to 10 years, and then come back. And then, I don't know, hopefully with God's help that the economy should be, you know, good, and unemployment will be. But anyway, we'll go through that thing later on. So, Here we go. Yeah. Hold on a second here. I lost my... Okay. Some of us should count our lucky stars. However, in certain U.S. cities, life is much worse for residents than in other areas of the country. Given, you know, I mean, like I said, the slump or the ghetto, if you want to call it. They use the actually a variety of criteria, including unemployment rates, health data, you know, the number of foreclosures, etc., even crime statistics, climate, and other measures of misery. And this website actually came up with this. This is an unofficial, okay, and an unofficial list of the 10 worst cities to live in. All right. Number one, El Centro. El Centro, California. You know why? Why? Because this population is 41,000, about 41,000. Lose your job in El Centro, and it might be quite some time before you find another one. Isn't that like somewhere, isn't that like everywhere though?
Yeah.
One in four, actually in California, in El Centro, California, one in four people over there are out of work. And the city holds a not-so-distinguished honor of having the highest unemployment rate, 27.5%,
wow,
in the country. That's actually like behind Yuma, Arizona, 27.2%. Yuma, mm-hmm. Arizona, you know. The El Centro, California, and actually is the desert city, what they call it, which is located in Imperial County, just across the border of Mexicali. You know, it's right there by the border. And has a jobless rate triple the national average of 9.5%. And we all have to thank the seasonal fluctuation of field laborers. Field work is the country's third largest employment sector after government, transportation, and utilities, as according to the AOL News. You know. So, let's move on. Cleveland, Ohio, population 431,000. So when you say Cleveland, Ohio, isn't that LeBron James from there? Well, you know, LeBron is not the only one person leaving in the, leaving Cleveland. The U.S. Census estimated that 2,658 people left the city in 2009. That's the largest numerical drop among America's major cities.
Wow.
They leave the Cleveland. Let's leave the Cleveland. Forbes also put Cleveland atop its list of most merciful U.S. cities, factoring its high unemployment unemployment rate. Although at 9.9, it's below the national average. High taxes, lousy weather, political corruptions, and lousy sport teams. And that was before LeBron decided to leave. Imagine what. Weather is a big factor, according to Forbes. Located in the south shore of Lake Erie, Cleveland gets hit by the lake effect snow, averaging almost 60 inches of the stuff every winter. Here in Chicago, we get lake effect snow because we got a huge lake. It can't be, you know, bigger than the Michigan, Lake Michigan. It has a frigid weather that helps produce an average annual temperature of only 50 degrees, 10 degrees below the average of the 50 cities measured by Forbes. You know, there's a nickname for that lake that I have there called Mistake by the Lake. You know, and then Cleveland ranked in near the bottom one looking at corruptions of Forbes list. Corruption. And here we go. Right next to that, Detroit, Michigan, number three. Population 871,000 people. And according to the violent statistics from the FBI latest uniform crime report that was issued back in 2008, it's heavy. And its heavy reliance on a stumbling auto industry hasn't helped matters much. The Motown, and that's what they call Motown, the Motown city also boasts high foreclosures and unemployment rates. Wow. Detroit, Michigan came number three, number four. Believe it or not, Las Vegas, Nevada, population of 552,000 people in there or more. Yeah, you're probably thinking, why is that? So Las Vegas was one of the hardest hit cities when the housing bubble burst. In fact, the metro area was at the epicenter of the mess with the highest foreclosure rate. So foreclosure rate that Las Vegas suffered from. And, yeah. So those who have hung on their homes over there in a Nevada or Las Vegas are likely more likely underwater in their mortgage. So meaning that their mortgages are worth more than their homes. Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Number five, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You know why? Oklahoma is the unhealthiest city in the country, as measured by American College of Sports Medicine and their annual fitness index. So index looks at the 30 fitness indicators, including obesity and exercise rates. Oklahoma, they do like fried meals over there. They fried everything over there down in Oklahoma City. So obesity and the index, they look at the 30 fitness indicators. That would be including obesity, exercise rates, the death rates, likely from the cardiovascular diseases, acres of parkland, numbers of primary care, physician per capita, and the percentage of residents who ride their bike to work, walk to work. The index compares the 50 largest metro areas on the 100-point scale. The Oklahoma City received a score of 24.3. That's low. So the visitor rate is 30.2%, 4 points above average, and it has an exercise rate of 71% and has half of many baseball diamonds, recreation centers, and dog parks in most cities. So you're thinking Oklahoma City is, that's where we see the clumps or the, bunch of fat people walking around eating corn dogs. Oh, look at this one. Number six came Los Angeles. That's why they call it lost, because they're lost. Los Angeles. This says, if you don't really care about breeding, Los Angeles is a great place. Oh, you live in a bubble, I guess. The metro area that stretches from Long Beach to Riverside has the worst ozone pollution in the country, according to the American Lung Association instead of the Air Report for 2010. Along with being top in ozone pollution, L.A. is ranked third in year-round particle pollution and fourth in short-term particles. Why is that? There's so many people, I guess. It's probably more, it's better than Manila, I would say. Manila. But anyway, ozone is the byproduct of pollutants released by car. We all know that. Chemical plants, refineries, and other sources goes along with that. It exists naturally in the upper atmosphere of the Earth, but when emitted at the ground level, it's considered harmful outdoor pollution. Inhaling ozone can cause wheezing, coughing, chest pain, throat irritation, congestions, and can make people more susceptible to respiratory illnesses such as bronchitis and pneumonia, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So, if you don't mind, like I said, if you don't mind reading all that stuff, and if you have a really high, strong immune system, and if you like, if you really want to live in Los Angeles, go on. So Los Angeles, but made it to the sixth, number six. Phoenix, Arizona's number seven. Arizona's tough immigration law gets tough or through the courts. Phoenix is going to be a much more difficult place for immigrants. Or really anyone of a Latino origin. That comes, is that? I don't think Filipinos goes in there.
Maybe it's just all people with brown skin.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll be in there. People, just people with brown skin.
And your name is Fernando.
And my name is Fernando. So the law, because they have a new law right now that would allow cops or police officers to ask people for proof of their illegal status when stopping them for another violation.
Was that a passport?
Or, well, like a green card or, you know, or maybe a passport. You know, if you're a U.S. citizen, maybe buy yourself a passport. No, you know, get yourself a passport.
Or a passport card, right? I mean, a card is cheaper than a passport. Like a driver's license looks like.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I didn't even get that. So, yeah, there's a whole controversy about that. A lot of people, like liberal people on the left, are, you know, mad about the Arizona. Even the White House, I think, sued the Arizona for that. So, all right, we gotta keep going over here because we're running out of time over here. So Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, because of that immigration law, if you're Latino or have a Latino origin or a Filipino, you know, if you have a Spanish last name or a Spanish name, I don't know, maybe it will be inconvenient or if the cops ask you for your resident status, you know, or your status citizenship. So, so beyond the controversial immigration measures, Arizona housing market still remains a mess. So here we go. That and also the immigration mess and also the housing mess. So comes along with that. And also Phoenix also ranked poorly among metro areas in per capita income growth between 2000 and 2007 to 2008. The city's income growth actually shrank 1.4%. The nation's worst one-year loss. And let's not forget about being able to breathe in Phoenix for year-round particle pollution from freeways. Goodness. Not just freeways, power plants and other root sources. So, and other sources. Phoenix is the worst city in the country, according to this website. Newark, New Jersey, population is 281, made it to number 8 in the worst places to live. Why? Where to start? Newark has been compared to Detroit, but with its own political and social dysfunction. That's what Newark. So more than a quarter of its population lives below the poverty line. The state is the most Superfund toxic waste site in the nation, and Newark Mayor Cory Booker is trying to close a $70 million budget deficit by cutting items like toilet paper. Non-uniformed city workers will soon start working four-day work weeks. Non-uniformed means it's just like in street clothes. Which will make it in the first city to cut employee hours, but at least Booker has said he won't raise taxes. Booker has brought the city a long way since being elected in 2007, but he is still a long way, you know, he still has a long way to go. The crime in the city has been reduced, that's a good thing, and it still remains a major issue, though. Recent spate of shootings have reminded residents of the city's long history of violent crime in Newark, New Jersey. Number 9, Miami, Florida. Ooh. Why? Because of the housing market. According to Realty Track, Miami has seen close to 40,000 foreclosures, making it one of the most active markets when it comes to people abandoning their homes. Crime is also a problem. Neighborhood Scouts reports that Miami has one of the highest crime rates in the country, with one of the 12 chance that residents will become a victim of property or violent crime. Making things even worse, the city not only has some of the worst drivers in the country, but it also has some of the worst commuting lines. So Miami, we're not going to Miami because of that. But anyway, it's a good place to live there, though. I mean, if you have a business over there, I mean, if you, you know, that's, like those, if you can afford it, those, you know, those that house by the islands, the little islands there, I mean, they should be able, you know, anyway. But, Number 10, we're going for landing over here. Memphis, Tennessee, population of 670,000. Memphis is one of the worst violent crime in Memphis. No wonder. And it was ranked the third by Forbes in its list of miserable cities for corruption by city officials. The corrupt, according to stats, this is released by the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the city had the second worst rate of violent crime. Neighborhood scouts, those are the neighborhood scouts, which tracks crime, those people that track crime, and other factors in various cities and neighborhoods said one's chance of becoming a victim of other violent or property crime here is 1 in 10. So within Tennessee, more than 90% of communities have lower crimes rate than Memphis. So, Memphis. And that's mentioned the political corruption. It was actually reportedly nearly one public official per month over the last decade has been charged with public corruption. Recently, a former city administrator used a city account that was supposed to be for auto parts to buy big screen televisions. So those are my friends. Those are the 10 cities, worst cities to live in. And those are just opinions. If you have other opinions, you know, that's good too. But you're not been informed. So this is talk about the city on this day. August 29th. Grab a pen and paper. We might have learned something. August 29th, back in 1991, the Supreme Soviet and Parliament of the USSR suspended all activities of the Communist Party, bringing an end of the institution. Down with a communist. On August 29, 1915, Ingrid Bergman, the Swedish international film star, was born. Actually, actually died on August 29th, 1982. Yeah. On this date, the last Incan king, and this is back in 1533, the last Incan king, Atahualpa, was murdered on orders from Spanish conqueror Francisco Pizarro. So Francisco Pizarro ordered to kill the Incan king Atahualpa in 1533. Back in 1632, on this date, English philosopher John Locke was born in Somerset, 1632. 1877, this is fast forward. Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, died in Salt Lake City in the age of 76. 1944, American troops marked down the Champs-Élysées in Paris as the French capital continued to celebrate its liberation from the Nazis. 1957, Senator Strong, third one, ended the longest filibuster in Senate history after talking for 24 hours, 18 minutes against the civil rights bill. Wow, that's long. 1958, pop singer Michael Jackson was born in Gary, Indiana. 1965, Gemini 5, carrying astronauts Gordon Cooper and Charles Pete Conrad splashed down in Atlantic after 8 days in space. 1966, Beatles performed their last concert at Candlestick Park in San Fran. 1996, on this date, August 29th, President Bill Clinton's chief political strategist Dick Morris resigned amid a scandal over his relationship with a prostitute. Year 2000, on this day, Pope John Paul II endorsed organized donation and adult stem cell research study, but condemned human cloning and embryo experiments. That's back in 2000. 2008, Republican John McCain picked Alaska Governor Sarah Palin to be his vice president running mate on this date. And we're going to the birthday. This is celebrity birthday, so if you're a celebrity and having a birthday, if you didn't mention it, too bad. This is on this day. Lea Michele turns 24 years old today. I believe she's from Glee. Richard Attenborough, an actor and director, turns 87. David Pryor, former U.S. Senator and from Arkansas, turns 76. William Friedkin, a director, turns 75. John McCain, U.S. Senator, Republican from Arizona, turns 74. Man, he's old. 72 for Robert Rubin, the former Treasury Secretary, and also Douglas Schumacher, a director. Turn 71, 69 for Robin Leach. Remember Robin Leach? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Rebecca De Mornay, she's 51 years old, turns 51. She's an actress. Carla Cugino, turns 39. Roy Oswalt, actually a basketball player, turns 39 today. And let's go to 33 or something like that. Someone was 33. It was whispering in my ear. Let's go to my Facebook friends, if you are my Facebook friends or my MySpace or the Twitter friends or followers. Happy to be having a birthday today. Happy birthdays. But honorable mentions. Here we go. Today's the 29th. Yeah. The lovely Ann Arbuez turns 19 years old. Congratulations for today. Joaquin Ochigujuaka Ugodi. Yeah, that's a real name. 18 years old today. Marie Johnson and Jessica Jean. Tomorrow, Jocelyn Hall is turning Jocelyn. Debbie's daughter, this week. This week, actually, Redentorix Margaro turns 33 years old this week. Jasmine Irby, 20 years old this week. Caitlin Fish, turns 31, or on August 31, I believe, but I don't think she turns 31. Rita Untouchable Quarles, I think that's her name. Linda Wall. Actually, 64 years old and first. Linda Wall's Eddie's mom. I don't know if you guys like they care, but Alvin Grospe, September 2nd. Jerzy Gozet, Oksana Donieva, September 2nd. Happy birthday, Lindsay Hudzinski. Happy birthday on 3rd, Doyle Aircrag, September 3rd, Tron Henningsen, Nathan Jones, September 3rd, coming up, Raymond Garcico, September 3rd, and also Matt York, he turns 25, Matt the Zoolander York turns 25 years old. Those, my friends, are the memorable mentions of the day of the 29th. All right, we'll continue over here. Arwen, are we going to be top? Are we having a topic today?
It's up to you. What do you think?
Let's move on. Let's get the topic today. Here is the news of the day. Man, 24 charged with imprisoning his 66-year-old girlfriend. That's right. This guy, 24-year-old, right, is charged with imprisonment of his 66-year-old girlfriend following an argument Wednesday, they said. Arrested was this dude, Joshua Dan Porter, in Gainesville. And the arrest report states that he and his girlfriend got into an argument. The report said that she tried to leave the room, and he closed the door on her hand. Shoved her down on the couch, twisted her nose, hit her on the head with a couch pillow, and forced her to kiss a picture of her dead husband. What a sick, sick guy. She attempted to leave the residence, but Porter blocked the door, according to the police. The situation calmed down, and the woman eventually left. So Porter was charged with one count of false imprisonment. What are you saying? What say you? This guy's sick? I think this guy's in mental, evaluations or something. So
yeah.
What's your word on that? A 66-year-old. I mean, a 24-year-old. What do you think a 24-year-old hanging out with a 66-year-old? She must be like, so there's no picture of her or anything like that. She's got to be like really old.
Maybe she looks really young and pretty.
Maybe. Maybe she
doesn't look 60 years old. She looks like
30. I don't know, man. I think this guy's sick. You know,
yeah.
If that guy, I mean, if the lady would have been like 76, I don't think 76 years old with, you know, one leg on the car, on the wheelchair, I don't think this guy would care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy needs some mental help or something. But, yeah. And he twisted her nose. That's not good. That's not good. So we'll be right back in just a second, and we're going to pause for just a couple minutes. Hold on a second.
Hello, you have reached the Johnson residence. Yes, we are home right now, but we are doing lots of things. My dad is working out, and he uses torch pavement, so he will be there for a while. My sister and I are outside riding our bike or jumping on trampolines. Then, when we are done, we are going to study. Yeah, we are active kids like that because we take isotonics, vitamins, every morning. Now, my mom, she's way too busy shopping online. I heard she gets cash back at shoppingsuperhighway.com. We go to stuff when you can get all the stuff you need all the time at shoppingsuperhighway.com. So, bye.
Hey, y'all, this is Rob. You're listening to my boy Fernando's show. Hell of a show. Y'all should be paying attention. Peace out.
Hi, this is Kim from KickDad.com, and you're listening to the Fernando Poniatti Show.
Hey, you, listen up. When was the last time you had someone give you cash back online when you bought something online? Okay, time's up. Well, here it is. ShoppingSuperHighway.com, the online store that gives you cash back on your purchases.
And get this, up to 35%.
Whoa! So here's the website again, ShoppingSuperHighway.com. That's ShopInSuperHighway.com. And become a preferred customer today for free.
Continue on in this one in our segment. What would we talk about?
How about we talk about something to do with what we did this weekend and what's coming up this week?
I already said about what we did this weekend.
Okay.
So what's going on this weekend or this week?
A lot of exciting things. Looking forward to going to church for. Well, we don't have church tomorrow or Tuesday, but we have Kung Loben Nang Gospel, which means Lord willing, we'll be having church on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. Looking forward to that. It's what's coming up is we usually have a prayer meeting on Thursday, but we're going to be having prayer meeting, worship service, Lord willing, scheduled combined on Wednesday instead. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here in America, starting at 6 p.m. all the way until Sunday, probably about 11 a.m. or noon, we'll be having church called. It's a Thanksgiving service, which is a resemblance to just kind of practice for Lord willing, hopefully when we get to heaven, we'll be in heaven giving praise to God and thanks to God. So which is a practice of, and also something to learn endurance, because the enemy tends to attack the children of God or anybody, especially when they're tired or they're hungry. So what we're going to do is we probably won't have much sleep. Maybe we'll have a 5 or 6 hour break for sleep, and then we'll have maybe 2 or 3 1-2 hour increments of time available to sleep. So it really is like endurance and really focusing on giving thanks to God, and also of learning more about God's word. Also, it's in resemblance to when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and ask for his children to have 3 days set apart for worship, for to go into the desert to make sacrifice to him. So that's why we do ours may seem like it's actually about 3 days if you, because we do it here in America, so it seems maybe like 3.5 days. But in the Philippines, it is, I believe, 3 days. In the Philippines, it is starts at 7 a.m., I believe, on Friday. It goes Saturday and Sunday. I believe it ends at Sunday, right, Fernando? It would be Sunday in the Philippines, 11 p.m., I believe. It will be ending over there.
Yeah, that's I think so. So it's going to be, this is, it's a, worldwide event. So it's not just here. That's just in Chicago. So what else? So how did you, what about last week? What did you do this weekend? Did you, what about that blood drive? Did you participate on that?
Yeah, I did. With God's help, I was able to, I was able to help out with the blood drive, even though I was not able to donate blood, because as I think Fernando said on the radio show, I don't know if he said it on the radio show or what, but he gave me the advice that why worry about something? Like, for example, we're planning to go to the Philippines next year, for, I don't know, long time, or if it will be called a while. And don't worry about that, because we don't know what's going to happen between now and then. So just like with the blood drive, a lot of people are tempted to be scared about the day of, and they may be worrying for 1 or 2 weeks if they sign up. They're worried about can they endure, because there's a lot of misconceptions about the blood drive. So, with God's help, I was able to not worry about the blood drive and just leave to the Lord that if Lord sees that somebody cannot bear it, then they'll get rejected, meaning that the Red Cross or where they're giving the blood, they'll say that they're not qualified at the time. So what happened was, with me, I was not qualified because I had actually low iron. I'm not really sure why, but a couple days before that, before the blood drive, I started feeling tired, and I was just wondering if it's, maybe something to do with my blood sugar level. So I just continued taking the OPC3. And
are you sure it's not because of your cycle?
And,
sorry.
And I then the day of the blood drive, and even I think Friday, I was not tired. But they took my hemoglobin, it was 11.2, so they did a second test, and it was actually lower instead of higher. They were wondering if it would be higher. But it was actually lower. It was 10.6 on the other hand. So it needs to be at least 12.5 for a woman. So that's why I was not able to, give blood, is because of my iron level. And God knows what's best. How about you, Fernando? Did you participate?
Actually, as we coordinated that, God's help, and it turned out pretty good. I was expecting that's going to be stressful, and not knowing what to do, and stuff like that. But actually, with God's help, I was able to rest, and I was able to be calm, and.
thanks to some of the people that helped, and thanks to you, actually, you helped a lot, and thanks for the Red Cross, your Chicago chapter. Thanks for that, and you know, we have to do this again. Actually, do that, and you know, it's kind of good. It's a good feeling to know that you are able to help. You know, like again, that earlier, that a lot of people expect something from that. You know, like getting money from getting blood, you know, or getting something. I mean, we got cookies and a little snack. That's good enough. No, that's necessities. Actually, you need to eat something right away when you have your blood drawn. So, with that, with God's help and with everyone who participated, you know, it turned out pretty good. So thanks for that. Do you have any last word before we go?
Thanks be to God for all the people that were able to donate blood and help also. And, you know, with Lord's help, we will enjoy this week. And we really look forward to the meetings we'll be meeting. And maybe we can cover the topic in the next week. I'm not sure. Are we having a show next Sunday? Since we might actually be going out of town after we get some rest, because we might want to rest after the PDK, huh? Oh, but it's also called UTD, actually, Universal Thanksgiving. So, maybe we think we'll have the show next week?
I think so. Just keep an eye on them. You know, if you're on Facebook, if you have Facebook friends, just keep an eye on Facebook. You should be able to be able to post it. Blah, 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 blah.
And I think that I'm gonna keep an eye on like how I feel and things like that. And I might end up, yes, we have on shopinsuperhighway.com, we actually have a multivitamin with iron. So if the doctor tells me I need to take iron, I'm most likely, Lord willing, gonna be getting the isotonic multivitamin with iron. So don't forget to earn cash back. I mean, I know money's tight nowadays with many, many people. I don't know if our listeners, some of them or all of them, they have lucrative, I think this word, lucrative money. They have plenty of money, I mean. And if that's the case, so be it. And if not, so be it. But, you know, if you don't like to shop because you don't want to, you know, spend your money, why don't you get, if you're going to buy your toilet paper or something like that, go to shopinsuperhighway.com. Drugstore.com is one place where we try to buy our toilet paper. And we earn cash back for that. So for your daily uses, they still earn cash back. So that's what I have to say. Go to shopinsuperhighway.com. But most importantly, go to pray and seek the Lord always first. And that's the most important thing. Also, you can, to learn more about the Bible, you can go to livestream.com/ELISORIAN. Hi, thank you guys for your time. Have a great day.
All right. This once again, this is Fernando Bonanza on the Fernando Bonanza Show. And we are signing off right now, so keep an eye on it. Next week, we'll see you again. And with God's grace, enjoy your week for this God-given week. 2 God.